Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this Christmas service where we recognize and shine a spotlight on Jesus' coming to the earth. And Father, we know that is the reason for this season and the reason for celebrating Christmas. And so we exalt him this morning. And Father, I'm so thankful for the direction that you have put on my heart today to go, because it's a demonstration of your kindness, your love, and what you want for your people. And so, Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. My words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, speak through me with boldness, with utterance. May we hit the mark this morning. May we hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And say things, Father, that are so specific to their life and their circumstance that, Father, it'll be a demonstration unto them of how much you love them. For I don't know what to say that would touch every heart, but, Father, you do. And it'll be a sign that you have a better tomorrow for them, but also that here at Family Church South Dayton, it's a place where people can come and hear from heaven concerning their life and to get their lives changed for the better. So we thank you. All these things will be accomplished in this service, and we give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, in Luke chapter 2, in verse 1, I'm going to read down through verse 14, and this is one of the more popular portions of Scripture concerning the Christmas story, and then we're going to launch from here. The only thing I'm missing is my blanket. I think this is the proportion of Scripture that Linus always used to read. And did Linus suck his thumb? Awesome. Well, then I got to suck my thumb too. So, and it came to pass. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God, in the highest and on the earth, goodwill toward men. Praise God. Peace, goodwill towards men. Well, this is the arrival of Jesus on the earth. Praise God. This was his great debut, you know, of course, coming as a baby. And his coming, of course, has changed so many of our lives, correct? Amen. You know, in talking about salvation, you know, the greatest reason that Jesus came was to connect us to God. And, you know, so many people have wrong ideas of who God is. And a lot of times, you know, people judge God by, you know, circumstances or situations that they've encountered, that they've faced, or things that they've seen other people go through, or world events. They think God must just be a part or the puppet master of all of those things. And a lot of those times, you know, that makes us think that God is an angry God, that God is a God that's hurting our lives, doing things to us. But God sent Jesus into the world, not to destroy men's lives, but God's heart is to save people. Amen. The truth is, you know, we don't have time to teach on it, but there's a devil in the world, and God gets a lot of the credit for a lot of the things that the devil does. And so when you don't understand some of those things, God will get the blame. And you know, God first sent Jesus, and the greatest thing that came out of Jesus was the fact that we can be connected to God, our sins forgiven, and we can have eternal life. And you've heard terms like being born again or being saved. And man, oh man, are we thankful for that. Because once you've received Jesus, which is the first promise or the first gift that you get from Him, that's offered to you, you become a child of His. And like I said, I grew up, you know, don't let the suit and tie fool you. I know my knot looks really good today, but don't let that fool you. I grew up depressed. I grew up broke. I grew up sick in body. I grew up sick in mind. To the point of a finger pull away from my life being over with a gun in my mouth. It's a true story. Addicted and drugs and alcohol and things. But once I became a part of God's family, I had a new set of regulations or a new set of opportunities available to me that were not available to me when I wasn't His child. You know, I'm not obligated to every kid in this church. Now, spiritually I am, don't misunderstand me, but if I see kids out at Walmart or, you know, shopping at a store, I'm not obligated to make sure that they're taken care of, that they're provided for, right? I'm obligated to my children. Well, it's the same way. Until you're part of God's family, He has no obligation. Now, He sent Jesus for the whole world, and that was wonderful, but until you become His child, you don't have His help. Amen? And once I received Jesus, which was so simple and easy, and we'll give everybody an opportunity at the end of the service to do so, because it's a free gift. It's not about joining a church. Church attendance and church membership and giving in an offering, those can't get you into heaven and those can't keep you out of heaven. You might have a laundry list of things like I did in my life that I'm not proud of, that, you know, people still at this time in my life have trouble receiving from me because of those things. And you might think I've done too many things wrong to be accepted. That's a lie too. You can't be good enough to get into heaven and you can't be bad enough to be kept out. But when I received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I now was playing by a new set of rules. When I say rules, I don't mean rules with a yoke over me and a burden over me. I'm talking about opportunities now for my finances to be changed, opportunities for my health to be changed, opportunities for my mind and body to be changed, for my family to be changed. And like me, so many of you could testify, that's happened in your life too with the Lord. And so we're thankful for that. But there's also something else that was such a great mark or highlight of Jesus's ministry or why Jesus came to the earth. And that's what the Lord has put on my heart to share with all of you this morning. I received this message or the direction for this message weeks and weeks ago of knowing what we were going to do in our Christmas service. And it's caused me to have to gear things a little different because of that. But it's good because it's going to end up being a blessing to all of us. And I got direction about which way to go with this. And I was just so pleased with the Father. You know, when you're a minister who tries to endeavor to hear from heaven on what to share, we don't any, many, miny, mow our way through the Bible or think, well, what would be a good Christmas message? I don't know what people need to hear, but God does. And we don't need to waste time coming here and not getting anything that will help us. And so go with me to John 10 and verse 10. So Jesus came to the earth, and in John 3:16, it tells us that He came so that if we believe in Him, we would not perish, have everlasting life. And my goodness, thank God for that blessing. But here's what you have to understand. From the cross to your death, or when Jesus comes back, to when you fully experience the blessings of redemption, which would be your home going to be with Jesus and to be in heaven with the Father, there's a whole lot of space and time in there. And it's called life. And God didn't just set up, you know, I don't just say, okay, to my children, you know, there's going to be this big gap and big space and time in your life as my children where I'm going to take my hands off and just let you fend for yourself. All right, Abby, you're going to be, how old are you? What is it, 8 or 9? 8. I thought it was 9. I was going to say 9. When you turn 9, Abby, from 9 to 10, I'm going to have you just be on your own. Get your own food. Get your own clothes. Take yourself. No, you would call me, right, a delinquent dad. Right? Well, God is not that way where you get saved, you come into the kingdom, and then God says, I'm good until you come to heaven with me. No. God is obligated to help you, to take care of you. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, let me get there. I should have flipped there instead of talked. But John 10 and verse 10, look at this. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Right there it's telling you who's responsible for stealing, killing, and destroying. The thief. Pay attention, kids. Pay attention, kids. Hallelujah. We want our kids sitting good. We got prizes for you and blessings for you. We need you listening. The thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and to destroy. He said, I have come, Jesus said. Now look at this. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you see that there? Jesus said, there's a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. You know, a lot of things God's getting credit for. But Jesus said, I have come. Well, what is Christmas celebrating? The coming of Jesus. The first coming of Jesus, right? We're patiently awaiting his second coming, but this was the first coming of Jesus, Christmas morning. And a lot of times, you know, when it comes to the plan of redemption and the idea of what God has for us, a lot of times Easter kind of gets more of the pomp and circumstance with Jesus dying on the cross, raising from the dead. But how many of you know Easter can't happen without Christmas? There is no Easter without Christmas. And so Jesus comes to the earth as a baby boy, but he came with a purpose. And the purpose is found here in this verse. It says that they might have life and have that kind of life more abundantly. Do you see that? Well, you have to understand that that word life in the Greek is the Greek word zoe. The Bible in the New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And that word zoe has a meaning to it. So when he says, I've come to give you life, he can't be talking about your heartbeat and your pulse, because he's already talking to people that already had that before he came. But now he's saying, I'm coming to give you a different kind of life. Amen? A different kind of life than what you've ever known or experienced or that you could ever have without me. But with me, you can have this life. And that zoe life means this. The life that God enjoys, or the God kind of life, or the way we like to say it is heaven on earth. Now think about this. Jesus said, this would fit with the Christmas message, why he came. I have arrived Christmas morning for the reason to give you heaven on earth, or life like God enjoys. Praise God. And so what he's saying is, I've come to give you something you can't get on your own. And if you go to Luke 4 and verse 18, I want to show you something here. Luke 4, 18. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Now here's the awesome thing. I've come to give you abundant life. When the Bible talks about being saved or accepting Jesus, it tells you how to do it. It says, call on his name. And the result is you will be saved, or you will be sozo is the Greek word. That means a complete or whole salvation. Well, what he's saying is, I want every area of your life to look like heaven on earth. Well, I'm here to tell you, there is no poverty up there. There is no sickness up there. There is no depression, and there is no fear. There's no anxiety, and there's no worry. There's no loneliness, and there's no sadness. And he said, I've come to give you God kind of life, or the life like God's enjoying it, right here and right now. But how many of you know we could look at our lives individually and say, well, this area of my life certainly doesn't look like heaven on earth, because I'm going through things or feeling things or experiencing things in my money, in my body, with my family, in my mind, that certainly won't be a problem when I get to heaven. But here's what you need to know, is that Jesus came to give you that life, or to take what you have and to turn it into abundant life. In Luke 4 and verse 18, Jesus is going to tell you the purpose of his ministry, okay? And in this verse, you're going to see that there's not one thing, There's not one thing that you're going through right now or any time in the future that's not covered by this verse. Because remember, Jesus' salvation is a whole salvation, encompassing every area of your life. God wants to move in to every area of your life and make it better. And in Luke 4:18, look what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Look at what's included here. So anybody struggling financially, Jesus is your answer. He came to undo that. I've came to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. What's that mean? Brokenhearted people being changed to healing. I mentioned this last night. There's things that we face, and there's things that we encounter, and there's things that we go through that naturally we could never get over them. The hurt, the sting of some of these things, the sadness behind them, the despair behind some of these things. But he said, through me, I'll heal the brokenhearted. And the Bible calls it a peace that passes understanding. People can go through tragic natural life events, but still come out of that strong, come out of that blessed, come out of that joyful, come out of that hopeful. How is that possible? Only through his supernatural help. Amen? But praise God for it. See, you might be thinking, there's no way I could ever get over that. There's no way I could ever overcome that. I've been a part of people's lives that are joyful, that are happy, expecting, believe in God, and they went through things naturally that you'd say, how would you ever get over that? There's only one way, it's Jesus. But thank God, it's available. And he says, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives. Again, I said every one of your problems is listed in this verse. If you're struggling with depression, you're held captive. If you're struggling with worry and fear, you're being held captive. If you're struggling with sadness and loneliness, that's holding you captive. Why? It's not abundant life. It's not heaven on earth. And he said, I came to deliver people that are captive. You might feel like, I can never get past this. How am I ever? I've struggled with this for years and years and years and years. You can't on your own. You're right. You've proven it. But through Jesus, he said, I can deliver you from that. I'm walking proof of that. Hallelujah. And look at this, and the recovering of the sight to the blind. Now, we know that Jesus just did not heal blind people. He healed them all. Now, he pointed that out, but what he's saying is, I've also come to bring healing to your body. And we saw that throughout all the word, and we'll look at that in specifics here in a second. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. And we could look at all these meanings, but the point is, everything that you're facing, that you would say, that's not heaven on earth, Jesus came to the earth on Christmas morning with the purpose to undo that in your life. Amen. It's the truth. Glory to God. But notice one of the things pointed out in here, and this is where the Holy Ghost had emphasized to me about this service. He says, I've come for the recovering of the sight to the blind. One of the things that Jesus came to the earth and that was spotlighted, flip over to Matthew 4 and verse 23. Matthew 4 and verse 23. One of the things that was so prevalent and highlighted in the ministry of Jesus, and how many of you know God put in this book what he wanted us to get? Amen. I mean, he emphasized things over and over again, just the same way we emphasize things to our kids over and over, because why? We want them to get it. And there's a whole lot in the Bible concerning this subject. And in Matthew 4, verse 23, is that where I said to go? Is that where I want to be? And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now notice what it points out with his preaching and teaching. And healing all manner of sickness, not just blind, all manner of sickness among the people. Now, if you look at the life of Jesus, and we won't have time, you can flip over to Acts 10:38. We'll look at one more verse to prove our point here, to kind of set the record straight. If you look at the life of Jesus, His life was characterized through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by numerous healing accounts where people that struggled with things in their body, people that struggled with things in their body that they couldn't get past on their own, that year after year they're facing, encountered Jesus and it was changed. Christmas time is a time where God sent an agent of change for your life. Yes, heaven, but even heaven is an agent of change, changing you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Jesus is an agent of change. And if there's anything that I want to get across to you, here we are getting ready to go into a new year. And let's be honest, some of us are bringing the same things that would not check off the box of abundant life into the new year that we had this whole year, years prior, years past, I mean dating way back. And right, a lot of times we get comfortable with these things and we learn to live and adjust around them, don't we? But Jesus is saying you don't have to, in heaven you don't have to compromise. It's bliss, it's perfection, it's wonderful. Now I'm not saying you won't have tests and trials down here, but through him we overcome those things. I don't want us taking the same things, and today we're going to talk about healing, the same sicknesses. Listen, I know I went through an incurable sickness for 2 years. I know what it's like, pain-wise, to adjust everything to make it work. And at times we do that, right? Well, it's not killing me, and I guess I can live with this. But if you were to be honest with yourself, it's not abundant life. And life would be a whole lot better if it was gone. Amen. And that's what Jesus wants for people. In Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Say, I don't know if that can be counted in this. Are you an all? You're an all. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so, if you haven't noticed by now, we're going to highlight some things on healing today and the fact that Jesus came. Look at his purpose. He was anointed to go about and to heal people. Hallelujah. And when God put this on my heart, there's a whole lot of things you can talk about on Christmas service. When he put it on my heart, to me, I was just overwhelmed with gratitude because I know why he's doing it. It's not to have a good sermon. It's to heal bodies in the church. And I could look around. I could just off the top of my head point to Sandy Muck was healed, Jake was healed, Julie was healed. Jeff's been healed of things. I could go around the room and say people have been healed of things in this church through services like this. And what God's saying is, enough is enough. I sent my son so you wouldn't have to take this anymore. And it's about time we get it. Amen. It's about time we get it. Hallelujah. And look at this. This is such a blessing, how God anointed. So Jesus had the Holy Ghost and power. How did Jesus get the Holy Ghost and power? God anointed him with it. Yeah. That word anointing is kind of is a word from the Old Testament where they would anoint people with oil or pour oil on their head. Well, the person that was pouring the oil on their head that would run down their body, it wasn't by accident. They didn't stumble and anoint them with oil. No, they had a purpose. They did it on purpose. And dumped it. So when God anointed Jesus with a power to go about doing good and healing all, what's that telling us? God wants that for you. And how much of a blessing is it when you know that the Father's not the one making you sick, he's not the one keeping you sick, and that he's not okay that you are sick? The world will tell you different, but the Bible will tell you different. And I'm sticking with the Bible, not the world. Why? The world's a mess. The world's confused. The world's lost. The world's depressed. The world's sad. The world's broke. And the world's sick. But God offers different. Go with me to John 5 and verse 19 real quick. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Glory to God. We're highlighting Jesus, but specifics about him. Why? The Father wants to give you a Christmas gift. He wants to heal your body. John chapter 5 and verse 19. This isn't pie in the sky. This isn't, well, I hope that could be. No, it can be you. If it was just you, he would have still sent the Son. Isn't that amazing? If it was just you, why? Because salvation is a gift that everybody must choose. And so there was a chance that nobody would have chosen, or there's a chance that only a handful of people would have chosen. And God said, I don't care. They're worth it to me. Yes. Amen. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Now look at this. If you study the life of Jesus over and over, one of the main things you see about him is he's a healer. John 5 and verse 19 says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also doeth the Son likewise. Well, Jesus spent a whole lot of time with the Father before he came to the earth, didn't he? A whole lot of time, eternity. Spent a whole lot of time. And Jesus had a prayer life and could see into the Spirit and see things, right? He said, I only do what I see my Father do. Well, that means Jesus was bound by whatever he saw God do. So if Jesus went about all the cities and villages and doing good and healing all that oppressed the devil, guess why? Because that's who his Father is. God wants you healed through his Son. And I know maybe your thought is, well, that's great for Bible times, but I don't see Jesus here. How are we going to get our healing if Jesus isn't here? Well, real quick, you need to have some thinking straightened out. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. What are we trying to do? Build your faith here. So when the time comes, you're ready to receive. You have to understand, healing your body is not hard for him. There's nothing that's hard for him. The Bible says there's nothing too hard for him. He sits there and laughs at these things. Right? When God wanted to deliver his people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, you know where he put them? He put them at a naturally impossible place. Mountains on their right, mountains on their left, the Red Sea in front of them, Egyptians trailing them and chasing them down. And God put them in a place where they have 2 million people, and there's no way they're crossing this body of water and making it out alive without drowning. All their horse, the carriages, horse-drawn, all that, and all their families and the babies and things. How are they going to get across the sea? And God led them right there. And we think, how in the heck can we get past this? What in the world? That's not how he thinks. He leads them to a place that's no big deal for him. Remember the Bible says with the breath of his nostrils? Remember God closed one nose and gave us the best snot blow ever? He said with the breath of his nostrils, the waters congealed and became frozen. And the walls, and there was walls on either side. It's not hard for him. God directed a stone from a shepherd boy. Right between the eyes, Goliath. It wasn't because God was on that. You do understand God's anointing was on that situation. Easy for God. Easy for God. Your problem is easy for him. The only thing standing between you and getting blessed is your doubt and unbelief. Well, where's Jesus? He's not here to heal. I do agree with you, Pastor Mike. Jesus is a healer. Well, verse 8 says in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same. Jesus Christ the same. Jesus Christ the same. Jesus Christ the same. You know, some of you that have, you know, maybe same age kids or not too far apart, you've learned a lesson that sometimes you better just buy them the exact same thing or there's going to be problems. I see some of you shaking your head. I know. Because why? Because one's going to find something with the other one. So when you buy them the exact same thing, what are they saying? It is exactly the same. There's no room for them to say, that's better, I want that one, and to give you a hard time. Yeah. And the Bible says that Jesus, the one back then, is the exact same today and will be the exact same tomorrow. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, we'll show you at the end how do you receive this healing from a Jesus that no longer is here. But you need to know that God is a healer, that Jesus came. Go to 1 Corinthians 11:23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. You know what, for time's sake, this is the communion scriptures where Paul talks about the body being the bread and the juice being, or the wine being the blood. And if you drop down to verse 26, for time's sake, it says, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup." So it's talking about taking up communion, what we're going to do after. And remember what communion is. The bread represents the body of Jesus, and the juice that we drink today will represent the blood of Jesus. And so it's whoever, "For often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself," what he's saying there. Now, let a man examine himself, what? How you are doing what he's going to say here in a second. "And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Here it is, verse 29. "For he that eats and drinks unworthily," not talking about your McDonald's meal, talking about when you take communion unworthily. If you don't, and when he talks about unworthily, he's going to tell you what it means to drink and eat it unworthily. He says, "For he that drinks it unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself." Notice this. "Not discerning the Lord's body." So what is taking communion unworthily? It's when you don't understand or recognize what Jesus' body did for us, or what the purpose of it. Now, when he came to the earth, he came in his body, right? So it's talking about not only his earthly ministry and what he came to do, but also what his body accomplished through the death, burial, and the resurrection. But it says here that he that drinks it unworthily drinks damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. You see that there. And the next verse says, "For this cause," the Bible takes the covers off. The Bible clears out any confusion why this is. Now, this is written to Christians, God's children. "For this cause, many." When you say the word many, does that sound like a little bit or a lot? Sounds like a lot. "Many are weak, sick, and sleep among you." That's the progression. Weak, sick, sleep means die. Look at what it says here. "For this cause, many of God's children are walking in sickness, walking in weakness, and die prematurely." He says, for one cause and one cause only. Now, that's not the only reason, but he said many of the people are. What's the cause? The verse before. Not discerning the Lord's body. What's it mean? Not recognizing or understanding the Lord's body. And I'm here to tell you, growing up in the denomination that I grew up in, wonderful people had no idea what the Lord's body was for. Christmas and the coming of Jesus and Jesus' life was only, if you even got to talk about salvation, was only about being born again and going to heaven. That's it. And you know what I found out in the place that I grew up and in my family and in my churches? I didn't hear of miracles. I mean, I literally could go around the room and give people a microphone and they could testify how God healed their body. It's a real thing. It's not pie in the sky. It's true. But where I grew up, they had no idea. And we took communion. And they love the Lord and they're in heaven. But their life was not abundant life. Why? They didn't understand or recognize what the Lord's body could do or bring them. If you don't know about something, how can you take advantage of it? I used this example last night, the iPhone, you know, great blessing to me, but there's things on it I still don't know how to do. And I'll give you an example. You know, there's times, maybe you've done this or received this, where you get a bunch of text messages in a row. And in those text messages, there's different questions. And have you ever had somebody respond to you, or you respond to somebody and they're like, "Which answer was that for? You just sent me 5 text messages. Which answer was that for?" Well, when it comes to technology and things, I blow up Pastor Scott's phone because I'm confused. And every time I text him, "Well, what about this? What about that? What about that?" And there's so much on there that for him to just send me a response back, I wouldn't know which one he's responded to. Well, he sent me a response back now, and you might know how to do this, but I don't. Where now it texts me back that question that I asked him with an arrow from my text message and a line down to his response. So I know his response, follow the line, is to that question. And I have no idea how he does it. I'm sure it's simple, but I have no idea how he does it. And because I don't know how, I don't do it. And so I stay confused and confuse other people. And there's lots of things on this that I don't know, or things in life that you didn't know that's how it worked, didn't know that's how it operated, didn't know it could do that, right? You find something maybe in some kind of mechanical thing or in your vehicle, and you didn't know it could do that, right? Well, so I was talking to someone recently, and their poor little feet were getting cold. They didn't know how to get the heat on their feet. Because on the dashboard, didn't have it, but on their screen, you did. Well, their little feet are cold. Why? They didn't know how to do it. Didn't know, didn't understand. Well, what happens when children of God have no idea that the body of Jesus sent to this earth, one of the main things that it was here to do was to heal your body? If you don't know it, you won't partake of it when it takes your faith to do it. So we can't live ignorant anymore. Amen? We can't live in the ignorant category. Now go with me to Galatians 3:13. We're almost done. Galatians 3:13. So God wants it for you. Jesus came to give it to you. But look what it says in Galatians 3:13. Christ, that Jesus we celebrate on Christmas, has redeemed, to redeem something, to rescue it, right? To redeemed us. You know, when you redeem you can redeem a gift card. What are you doing? You're using, taking advantage of what's on that gift card. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. So the Bible says Christ redeemed us or rescued us from what the curse of the law brings. Well, without getting too teachy and taking up too much time, the curse of the law, he's talking about the law in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 28, in the verses 1 through about 15, talk about all the blessings of following God. And in those blessings are financial blessings, physical blessings, spiritual. It's just heaven on earth. But then verses about 16, I think, around a 60-some, it talks about the curse of the law. And within that curse, there's numerous sicknesses written about. But I don't see the coronavirus there, and I didn't see, you know, the flu wasn't necessarily pointed out. You know, there's things on there that wasn't. And at the end of the verse, God in his wisdom and what his desire was said this. If you go back and look at Deuteronomy 28, around 62 or 63, he says, and every sickness that's not mentioned is included in the curse of the law. So if the curse of the law is sickness and disease, and Jesus rescued us from that, one of the things Jesus came to rescue us from was every sickness and every disease. What am I telling you? This already happened. 2,000 years ago, he hung on the tree. He's not going to hang on the tree again. At that time, he rescued us from it. He redeemed us. What I'm trying to say is he paid for it. He paid for it. Now our job, and you might think to yourself, if he paid for my healing, why am I sick? You haven't cashed in. You have to cash in on it. And you know, a lot of times what happens is our attitude and mentality. The Bible says we receive the promises of God through faith, by believing God. When the natural says something, when our feelings say something, when doctors report, we believe God. Well, that takes some pressing. That takes some, you know, going after it, right? Not just being casual. We see people that received in the Bible, they weren't casual. Blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road was not casual. He shouted Jesus down. The woman with the issue of blood was not casual. She pressed through a crowd to get to him. The Syrophoenician woman was denied by Jesus and the disciples and Jesus again and seemingly put down by him, and she still kept coming back and got her victory. Well, if we would take the way we are naturally and apply it spiritually, these things would not be a problem. Why on earth are you accepting or okay with something that Jesus paid for you not to have? You know, I've said it, you know, and this is not me trying to drop a hint for you to send me on a cruise. Please don't book a cruise for me without my knowledge. I'm going to bless my pastor, send him on a cruise. That would not be a blessing to me, just booking me a cruise. That's not what I'm saying. This. I want to go on a cruise for the food, right? All the food I've heard about. People have testified about the food and the never-ending desserts and the buffets. And that just sounds like heaven on earth, or just even liken it to a buffet on the land, not a cruise. But think of our mentality. You pay a price up front, right? Now, I'm just telling you. If I went on a cruise and prepaid, and now it's a buffet and it's never ending, I am going to guarantee you my time on that cruise is not going to be spent in a second of hunger. You paid big bucks. It's already paid for, right? I'm not going to have the mentality of, oh, I don't know. I'll give you an example. You're stuffed to the gills on a cruise. You've already paid for all this. Every bit of food on that table belongs to you if you want it. If you want it, it's yours. And you're stuffed, and you know that stuff where it's like sweating, hurting, you know, kind of like, what's going on in my life? Am I going to be alive in a little bit? That kind of stuff. You're walking back to your room, and man, you see something that you haven't tried yet, and you just know your taste buds, man, that would taste so good, but I know I can't eat it. I just want a bite of that. I'm telling you right now, it's already mine. I don't have to feel bad about grabbing that, taking one bite and throwing the rest of the trash. It's mine. It's already been paid for. To walk by and say, oh, I've had already too much. No, why would I leave something that belongs to me? And how many of us do this in other areas? If we pay for something, we want our money's worth. Right? You ever been to a concert and they cut it short, and you're like, you're mad. Or how many of you have ever gone back through the drive-thru for a stinking small French fry because you paid for it, and they didn't put it in there? What am I saying? We demand, if we pay for it, it's ours. Why aren't we that way with healing? We're so casual. Well, I can live with this. Why would you? Well, it's not that bad, or even if it is, it's been so long. It was paid for. You're not letting them get away with that with French fries. I mean, I've seen people, I won't mention names, and it's not her, that's not why I'm saying this. But I have had people in my family that in our house, we don't get something in our order, they will drive home or drive from our house back to the place, wait in line, and come back for something. Why? We paid for it. We're getting what we paid for. Well, Jesus paid for your healing. Jesus paid. I'm not saying that's wrong to do that. I'm just saying that's our mentality. That's our attitude. We are going to make sure we get all that was paid for. But Jesus redeemed us. And you got to have a mentality that, no. This belongs to me. This stops now. I am not taking this attitude into 2022 that I can live with this. No. Today, it stops. Jesus came on Christmas to demonstrate and prove to you and to show you, I want you healed of your sicknesses and your pains. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to close with these scriptures because now we're going to give people, after I mention this, an opportunity to receive this. Now, the way other people have received their healing, same way. The exact same way, because the thought could be, well, Jesus is a healer, but remember, he's the same. We can't summon, he's here, but he's in the spirit realm. We can't see him. We can't make him appear and lay hands on each and every one of you, but thank God we don't have to. Real quick, go to Mark chapter 16. Almost done, Mark 16. I want to show you how Jesus can still be the same healer yesterday when he was on the earth, today when he's not here, and tomorrow when he won't be here. Mark 16. And I want to encourage everybody that's already been with me for years. It stops today. It's time for you to fully recognize what was available to you and not take this stuff with you any longer. You don't need to. It was paid for. It was purchased. You don't have to feel bad or be apathetic about it. Mark 16 in verse 15. Jesus said unto them, now this is before Jesus leaves the earth and goes to be with the Father at his right hand. He tells his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptizes is saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. So if Jesus' goal originally is to get everybody saved, well, I don't know about you, but the disciples never made it to South Dayton, New York. They never made it to Cattaraugus. They never made it to Little Valley. They never made it to Jamestown. Never made it to Forestville, Dunkirk, Fredonia. Never made it to those places. So God knows, I want the whole world saved, but the whole world can't be saved unless they hear about it, and they can't hear about it unless somebody tells them. Well, we're right here in this location back in the Bible times, and now so he says, here, I'm anointing and telling people, you go out and spread the gospel. Well, even these people didn't make it to South Dayton, didn't make it to the places where we live, but who's he writing this to? All believers. How do you know it's for all believers? Well, he says, he that believes not shall be damned. Notice what it says, and these signs, verse 17, shall follow them that believe. So this is written not to just people in that time. It's written to anybody that would believe. So remember how Jesus would heal people. He would either speak the words or he would lay hands on people. If you read through the Bible, Jesus would embrace people and he would lay hands. And the apostles, the same way. When healing was to be transmitted, they would laying on of hands. Say, why do they do it that way? Ask God when you get to heaven. But that's how it was done. A lot of times through that touch, that transmission. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now look at the last one. They, because he's not going to be here anymore. Right? He says, I'm not here anymore, so they, you have to do this. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Did you know you can do that? Why? You're them that believe. Before I was ever in the ministry and pastored, I told the story about Bob at the gym. Remember Bob at the gym, who an older man who I became friends with? And one day I came in and people were talking. I said, well, you could tell the mood was kind of somber. Well, Bob just came in and Bob just found out that he had some life-threatening, impossible, incurable things that were going on in his body. And he just found out, and he's got to go back in a certain amount of weeks to have tests done. Well, I went in there and Bob came up and I could tell Bob was down in the dumps. And again, I'm not in ministry. I'm not a pastor. Why? You don't have to be in ministry and a pastor to do this. But I said, Bob, what's going on? And he told me the details. And this verse came up in my heart. They shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And right in the middle of the JCC gym, as a younger man, not a minister, not a pastor, I said, Bob, my Jesus said that there's healing for you. Can I lay hands on you? That's what the Bible says. And you know, when you say that, your mind, you can just imagine what the mind is. You think you're just boldness and you just walk into this like Macho Man Randy Savage or something, or Ultimate Warrior running down the aisle. By the way, I touched the Ultimate Warrior right here. He came running down the aisle and smacked my hand with his pectoral major. He did. Ultimate Warrior, you know, wore the bandanas around his arms, painted his face. And the thoughts are coming, you know, and you're not very bold and you're not very, you know, but I'm living out of my spirit here. And I said, Bob, the Bible says I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Bob, would it be okay if I laid hands on you and prayed? And you know, don't know the response. And his eyes lit up. He was so excited. And so I did. I laid hands on him. I said, Father, something like this. I don't remember exact words, but it was along the lines of, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your healing power going in him. And you said in your word, if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So I thank you. This situation is turning for Bob. And laid hands on him. Well, he went away, you know, and it was, I don't remember how many days it was that had gone by, weeks, I can't remember exactly, but I walk in, and it's like a celebration up front. And I'm like talking to the front desk people and the people that hang around up there, what's going on? You got to go talk to Bob. Went and talked to Bob. Bob came around to me and said, Mike, he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, I went back to the doctor. They ran the test. They can't find in my body what they found the previous test. It's gone. He's like, I have nothing wrong with me. Praise God. This stuff is real. And so in a second, I'm going to ask anybody that needs healing in their body. I'm not the healer. Don't look to me. I have no powers. But through him and his word and faith, the laying on of hands and the anointing that is on my life as a minister, we can get some things taken care of in your life. And so at this time, if you'd like to receive healing, come on up and just line up in the front here. Jeff will instruct you. And if we could have all ushers hands on deck here. And then if ushers need hands laid on them, once everybody else has received, then please, you get in line too. And when you come up, I want you to have an expectation of faith that when Pastor Mike lays hands on me, the healing power of God's going to go in me, and today it ends. And today it ends. A Christmas healing service. Praise God. Just line up right here. And I don't want anybody praying. Just have your eyes closed and be thinking about Him and meditating on healing and ready to receive. This is how it's done, glory to God. And I promise you, we will have testimonies. We will have testimonies. Already had a testimony, laid hands on someone not too long ago. They said, things have already started changing, Pastor Mike. We're going to start down here on this end. Praise God. Now again, just everybody put your hands out, because that's the way I'm directed to do this. And just be in faith for whatever you need in your body. Whatever you need in your body. And again, I'm not the healer, Jesus is. And this is how we've had miracles happen. Why? We're just doing what the Bible says. In the name of Jesus, be free and be healed of that. We command the healing power of God to go in you. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free of that. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free of that, Darren. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free of that. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free of that. Father, we thank you. The healing power of God is going into each and every one. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free. You can see why God had us do a healing service. Come on, God's trying to heal bodies. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free. In the name of Jesus, be healed and be free of that from her head to her feet. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, be healed of that. Praise God. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be free and healed of that. Yes, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, be healed and free from that. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be free from that, Michelle. Be free from that. From her head to her feet. This is for you, Stephanie or Carl. In the name, give me your hands. Put your hands out, both of them. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. Be free from that. You ready, buddy? Put your hands out, Carl. You ready to receive? I'm just going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus. Give me your hand, buddy. I'm not going to hurt you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the healing power of God going from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Proud of you, buddy. Are you here to receive too? Just put your hands out. In the name of Jesus, be free of that. In the name of Jesus, be free from that, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody else, just come on up. Ushers or anybody. Again, I'm not the healer. I don't have any healing power, but Jesus does. Hallelujah. Don't miss this. I had a situation. I'm going to lay hands on Lynn here real quick. In the name of Jesus, Lynn, be free from that. Yes. I had a situation months ago where God called out heart conditions in Allegheny. In my spirit, I knew there was someone dealing with heart conditions. And in that time, some people had come up. There was two people that had come up. Three people, I believe it was. Two or three people ministered to them. And all of them had testimonies within a week of things that have changed through their doctors because they had pressing things. But after I laid hands, my spirit was grieved. Not because of what God just did, but because I knew there was more. There was more. And a woman came up to me after service, and it was her first time her and her husband were there. And she said unto me, "Will you pray for my husband?" And I said, "Well, what's going on? Was that the man you were sent with in the back?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, where is he?" "He went out to the car." I said, "Well, what's going on?" And she went on to tell me some incurable heart condition. Well, here, God had put in my heart randomly that there was people that were struggling with heart conditions, laid hands on people for it, but the Holy Ghost was telling me, no, there's more. Well, what happened? Missed their visitation. You know, when Jesus passed through the woman with the issue of blood, if she would have stayed home, she had lived her life out in sickness. She had to do the right thing. And so let's just bow our heads. If there's someone here, don't let pride or embarrassment keep you from the... We are all rooting for you to be healed. I'm telling you, this stuff is real. I wouldn't preach it if it wasn't. I am living proof that God is a healer. He's healed my body of an incurable sickness that I had. If there's anybody else that wants to receive before we close the service, just come forward and receive it. Don't... The anointing is here. God has put this on our heart to receive. Thank you for your boldness, Michelle. Praise God. Hallelujah. If there's anybody else, come forward. we're all on the same team here, man. We, Father, in the name of Jesus, be free from the top to the bottom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, so just put your hands out in the name of Jesus. Be free from that, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Again, what do you do with this stuff? I've never seen this before. I've never experienced it. Bring it back to the Bible. Did it happen in the Bible? Then it's okay that it happens here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you. Now, while I'm talking, anybody can still come up, but I want to encourage the people that came up here. What did Jesus say? Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What did the Bible say? The recovery of the sight to the blind. There are times we have instantaneous miracles. But if you walked back to your seat and you still have the same symptoms in your body, that doesn't mean it's not working. Jesus' second miracle ever was when he healed the nobleman's son, and it said from the moment that Jesus ministered to him, the boy began to amend or to get better. When we pray, that's when we receive and believe. And now there's sometimes we see instant things, or sometimes we see where people have to use their faith and press in, but it will work if you'll walk out of here and say, I'm healed. On December whatever, around 11:30 a.m., Pastor Mike laid hands on me and we believed and agreed for my healing. It has to come to pass. It has to, or he's a liar. So let's just wait on him for a second. Just worship God. If there's anybody else that wants to come forward, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. Yes. Anything out of order, anything missing, anything that needs to be changed, turned around in her body from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Be healed, Cassie. Receive that now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. See, God's dealing with people. He doesn't want you walking out of here sick. He wants you to be on the road to recovery. Praise God. Father, we thank you and worship you. You coming up, buddy? Come on, put your hands out, Owen. Whatever he's going through, Father, you love him so much. In the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, we thank you. Thank you for his healing, that turnaround and that change. Praise God. Praise God. We worship you, Lord. We love you. Again, you're welcome to come up at any time, but let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to talk to you about the most important part of service. That healing line wasn't the most important part of the service. This is. With heads bowed, eyes closed, please, I'm asking nobody to look around. Not to be bossy, but for honor, respect, for help people feel comfortable. If you're here this morning and you can hear my voice or you're listening online right now, ask yourself this question. If my last day on planet Earth were today, do I know for sure that I would go to heaven? When I ask myself that question in my own mind, the answer that comes to me isn't, I hope so, I think so, or that would be great, or I don't know, or no, I wouldn't. The answer is yes. I know I would go to heaven. And the way that I arrived at that conclusion is not by coming up with something on my own, not by listening to other churches and what they think, or listening to what the news thinks or the media thinks or what Hollywood thinks or what family members think. I went straight to the source, the Bible. And the Bible told me how to receive heaven, how to receive eternal life. And it was had nothing to do with church attendance, had nothing to do with good deeds outweighing bad deeds, had nothing to do with finances and money, had nothing to do with that. Had everything to do with what I did with Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, the right thing to do with him is to ask him into your life. That would be signifying you believe in him and that you want him in your life. Again, you're not joining this church. You're not doing anything but saying, I want to become a child of God. I want to go to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward. I promise you I won't have you stand up or say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never accepted Jesus and you want to, and again, all you're saying is, I want to go to heaven. I believe in him. You don't have to understand everything about him, but something in your heart is crying out to you. There's a tug in there saying, this is you. You need this. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning for the very first time, would you lift your hand high in the air? Just lift your hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. Glory to God. Anybody else, before we close the service, want to receive Jesus for the first time, put your hand high in the air. Again, we're not embarrassing anybody. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody else that wants to receive the Lord? Now, what are you doing? You're just accepting Jesus. And oh boy, is life about to get good for you. Praise God. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus before we close the service? Just lift your hand high in the air. Anybody as I look around the room? Well, Father, we had one hand. And Father, I know for me sitting in the seats, I'd have a hard time raising my hand. So thankfully, it's not raising our hand that gets us accepted or denied access. And of course, there's people listening online. I can't see their hands. So if you're here and you didn't raise your hand because you're shy or for whatever reason, or if you're listening by live stream, and of course I wouldn't know if you did or not, you can still receive this. And how do you receive it? By inviting him into your life. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in a second. We're going to all pray a prayer inviting Jesus into our life. For those that raised their hand or should have, I need you to repeat this after me with all your heart. I'll lead you in this prayer. But we're all going to pray it with you, so you're not going to be the only voice. So those that should have raised their hand, those that did raise their hand, along with everybody in the church, let's go ahead and release our faith and invite the Lord into our hearts with heads bowed and eyes closed. Say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose again. And I ask you right now to come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. And if you didn't raise your hand, please see me in private or take one of those cards with you. I'd love to explain this more to you. Go through the Bible so you see, hey, we just share what the Bible says. And those that, that person that raised your hand, I'll be getting a hold of you and telling you about some things because you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. And I'm a pastor. I like church. But you don't have to. And you don't have to have a bunch of good deeds to get in there or you don't have to do that. But once you're God's child, God has things for you, and God puts pastors in people's lives to help get people into what he has for you. So I'd love to talk to you about your next step and what's available to you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to take up communion at this time. It's a time where we remember and celebrate. I thought it'd be a special time to do that at our Christmas service. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward and to serve each person. Now, this is a time of reverence and worship, so just begin to praise God and thank him for Jesus. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'll just be up here worshiping him and thanking him that he came to this earth to save me, to heal me, to provide for me, to love me, to care for me. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Worship you. Thank you, Father. Bodies are being healed. Bodies are being worked on. Changes are underway because you're faithful to do what you said you would do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship. fade it out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul said, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks for it, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me.'" Let's go ahead and break and eat it. Father, we recognize that the bread represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us. And you said if we would discern rightly what his body has done for us, healing will be ours. So we thank you for the healing that you're ministering, that you're doing, that you've offered us in Jesus' name. In verse 24, or verse 25, it says, "After the same manner, after he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes.'" Go ahead and drink. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we recognize that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on our behalf for the remission of our sins. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And so we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for our eternal life, and we thank you for our abundant life. We worship you this morning. Come on and praise him. Thank you for sending Jesus to the earth to turn and to change and to change the status quo, to change the hands that people have been dealt in life, to turn things around. We worship you. We thank you for the healing that was ministered here this morning. We thank you for the results. We thank you for the change and the turnaround. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want, you can pass your cups out to the aisle. Don't leave yet. Here, I got a couple more announcements. The ushers will come through and collect those. Don't forget kids all the way up to 18 years old. We have stuff for you. What side would you like the teenagers on? From teenagers over here and everyone else over here? So children's church, if you're in children's church age, which is 5 through 8, over here. Teenagers over here, 9 through 12. Oh, I'm taking the 13 through 18-year-olds. So if you're 9 years old through 12 over there, children's church over here, don't forget potluck. Love you. Appreciate you. You're dismissed.